Welcome back to the Mini Theatre, everyone. Where our next presentation, Dr. Ian Newington's going to tell you all about SBRI Healthcare. Over to you.
Okay. Thank you. So this morning, I want to talk to you about SBRI Healthcare, what it is, give you some examples, give you some case studies, and tell you why it's a good, useful thing to be to get money from. We can give you up to £1 million, or at least the NHS can. So. What is SBRI Healthcare? I'm guessing some of you already know, but I'm going to start with some of the reasons why SBRI Healthcare is important around the environment. So innovation ideally would look like the picture on the left. You may not be able to quite see where you're getting to, but you can see it's a straight line. You can see there are some lines on the road to keep you going in the right direction. Actually, the reality is something more like the one on the right-hand side, where you're not quite sure. It's a bit of a mess. Which route are you going to take? Not even quite sure. You can see where you're going because it's all a bit misty at the other end. So, and why is that? Well, there's quite a lot of things going on. So I want to set the scene for situations around medtech and the innovation and what's happening in the environment and why some of these things are slightly complex. Accelerated access. So most of you will probably have heard Sam Roberts talking about Accelerated Access Collaborative yesterday. Things are starting to happen around that, and what that's going to do is to make some, hopefully we'll be making some changes to make life a little bit easier to accelerate and to make get technology into the NHS more effectively. Still remains to be seen how that's going to work, but there are things happening. But what that means is there's lots of changes happening in the environment. There will be a number of things happening. We're trying to do some joining up. And if you go and have a look at the big screen in the middle there, the Innovation Exchange, this is one of the kind of single front door portals that will allow you to find out what the funding is and find out how to get through that and navigate your way through the network and support you as an innovator. The idea of this is to get faster or get new innovations faster to patients in the NHS. And of course, to support the UK as a world-leading life science hub. Other things that are going on in the environment at the moment, industrial strategy. The industrial strategy, we're on sector deal 2, and there's probably, who knows, sector deal 3, 4, however many. But what that means is the government's pumping quite a lot of money into industry in general. Quite a large chunk of it's coming into healthcare, and there's quite a number of particular calls and themes around that. One of the things about this very much aligned. So the good news is that a lot of these innovations and things that are happening in the environment are aligning themselves. So accelerated access is very much part of the industrial strategy, and the whole thing is working towards the same kind of goals. The NHS is recognised very clearly as an important part of the industrial strategy in terms of the potential customer and how we actually have our own home market for some of the innovations in the healthcare sector. The other thing that's very clearly recognised in the industrial strategy and indeed in accelerated access is how important the AHSN network is to getting these things out there and adopted and spread around the country. And I think it's quite likely that we'll see some more funding. There is a wave 3 of funding in the industrial strategy, which is due to be announced and is happening at some point fairly shortly, we think, subject to other political events happening at the moment. If you're developing technologies, you'll probably be very aware. And if you're not, you need to come and talk to someone very urgently about the new regulations. If you're need to get a CE mark for your new technology, regulations have been changing or in the process of changing. And also there's some issues around getting access to notified bodies to get your CE mark, which could be some problems. But these are very significant changes. And if you don't know about them, you need to talk to someone, preferably in the AHSNs, or go and talk to the MHRA, because this is extremely going to make your life somewhat more complex. In the immediate future. And then if you're looking for money, this is a slightly simplified version of the funding landscape. There's all sorts of other bits and pieces out there. What you'll notice is, generally speaking, everything on the left-hand side is all in acronyms. And then when you get down here, these are real words, and that represents real money. So this is proper investment money. But getting from something which is a concept, which is generally quite highly risky, to the point where somebody like an angel investor or a venture capital fund is going to invest in your company to help you develop your technology, will be, they in the UK especially, a lot of our investors are quite risk averse, and you need to get de-risk your technologies quite significantly. So SBRI fits in very much into this in terms of providing money to help you develop your technology, but to solve a particular problem. So there's a few other barriers out there. How do you find out about who you need to talk to? UK, this is just the kind of the classic issue about the UK. We're really great at inventing things. We're not terribly good at getting them into practice and into the market. We're probably going to give them to the Americans and let them do it. Actually, we want to change that, and that's what the industrial strategy is about. The NHS appetite for risk is a potential question, and I don't want to go into that anymore in this particular environment, but clearly that is an issue for, in certain cases. The other thing is the scarcity of funding. That's actually probably a completely out of scale. It's really probably more like a unicycle, without even a kind of, this 50 million would be hardly a full stop on that screen, I think, if it was built to scale. So most of that money goes into the research and development. Very little of it goes into the innovation and the actual adoption and spread. So SBRI, what is SBRI? SBRI stands for Small Business Research Initiative. And the SBRI concept is based on the US SBIR, just change the two letters around, process, and it's designed to enable public sector organizations to procure innovation and research, and to engage with people like yourselves who are innovative suppliers of technology. And the reason we're at the healthcare scheme is the only one that's actually owned and managed by the organization to which the innovations are going to go, which is in this case is the NHS. So NHS England and NHS Improvement, I have to say now, own this scheme and fund this scheme specifically. All the other SBRI schemes are managed by Innovate UK. So you may see in Innovate UK funding in other areas of government interest, SBRI type calls that are out there. I'll talk to you a little bit about the mechanism and how that works and what actually SBRI really means. But the key thing we're interested in doing with SBRI is to improve patient care clearly, increasing the NHS's efficiency, and to get enable the NHS to identify new innovations at a very early stage. So SBRI is the earliest part of the kind of innovation pathway as far as the NHS funding is concerned. So SBRI potentially then leads on to things like the Innovation Accelerator. Then you've got things like test beds and or ITP or equivalent kind of things, and obviously AHSNs will help you out with adoption and spread of your technology. It's also about bringing economic value to UK PLC, so we're interested in helping you build your companies as well and keeping them here in the UK. So what does SBRI Healthcare do? Well, we provide you an early source of funding for small, mainly focused around small businesses. It's very much a risk-orientated program. So we're looking at a portfolio, and it's a kind of, the innovation funnel is very much, and I'll show you what that looks like in a moment. So we're interested in, we will take some risks with some of those early developments. We're looking for things that are going to be significant in terms of the way that they can change things and be really innovative. So some of those things would be less than, well, you know, the success rate is going to be, hopefully we're going to get some of those things through, and they'll make it to customers or patients in this case. The application form is actually remarkably straightforward and simple, and generally speaking, the companies that have gone through the process really enjoy that form in comparison to some of the others that they might have to be filling in for other grant applications. And the turnaround time for the application process is actually quite short. It's in the order of about 3.5 months from application close to knowing that you've got the money and getting started with your research. So it's quite a quick process. Probably quite importantly, and the reason we're here and we've got a stand over there is because this program is strongly supported by the AHSN network. As part of the innovation pathway, we're at the beginning of that innovation pathway and supporting technologies that are going to come through into the pipeline. And we will be encouraging you, if you come to us, one of the first questions we'll ask you is, have you talked to your local AHSN? Okay, so just a couple of examples, and these are you'll have seen these if you've looked at the outside of our stand. A couple of companies, Aseptica, who developed one of their early products, was a compound or a product rather to enable better use of inhalers for asthma. This product wouldn't have got there without some of that early SBRI funding to help that develop. And TherapyBots, who are in the process of developing speech therapy products for disabled or children who have speech issues, have done some really interesting stuff. And again, it's enabled them to do stuff which they wouldn't have been able to do, and to be innovative and to bring products to market that really have made a difference to people's lives. And they've been very positive about the program. Over the last year, 18 months or so, there's been a number of independent reviews, as well as the annual report, which unfortunately we haven't got this last year's annual report yet. It will be out in about 3 or 4 weeks' time. I think it's gone to the printers, but because of delays in the process, we haven't quite got that ready yet. But there were three other independent reports, one by PA Consulting, one by RAND Europe, and the third one was actually a review of the entire SBRI process for the government by David Connell, who was one of the key people who actually set the whole process up and brought it to the UK. And all of those independent reports identified the value that SBRI healthcare brings to the market. And actually, interestingly, the Bayes product review of the entire SBRI process identified SBRI healthcare as kind of the model SBRI process. So that was really encouraging. When we give you your money, we're able to give you as a company 100% of your funding. And the reason we can do that, because we operate under pre-procurement rules, rather than being match funding or working within the state aid system. You get paid quarterly and up front. It's a milestone process, so we're going to expect you to have deliverables, and some of the payments may be relevant related to your ability to deliver. The reporting is relatively light touch, but most importantly, we'll have someone in the team like myself or Raf or some of the other guys on the team that will be available to you to help you, to help signpost you, as well as the AHSNs will be there to try and point you in the right direction and help you and give you and ask you some awkward questions about people that you might have talked to or not talked to about your technology to help you develop it and move it forward. Because our interest, once you've been funded and the NHS have agreed to fund you, our interest is trying to help you to be successful. The other thing is you keep your IP. We're not interested in your IP, so as a company, you keep that IP. There's a few minor bits and pieces around the potential for using that for PR purposes and training and so on, but largely the IP remains with you. So this is the process. We identify a problem. So SBRI is very much about a challenge-driven process. So here's a problem that we look at in the NHS, something that's common, not just something that sits in that particular trust in that particular location, but we will go out to frontline clinicians through the AHSNs and other organisations. We'll talk to charities, we'll talk to other researchers, we'll talk to experts in the process, and we'll pull together something, including the national clinical directors, and we'll pull together the scope or the kind of sense of what that challenge looks like. We'll make sure, we'll validate that around the place to make sure this is a problem that's common, that if we solve it, has potential to make a significant impact on the NHS and or patients. So that scope is then published, and then we'll run the competition. Normally, competitions we typically run a couple of times a year with two different themes. And we're asking you to tell us how you might solve that problem. If you've got some technology, some digital, a device, or whatever it is to solve the particular problem that we're asking you to solve. So the competition is open, and it's a phased competition. So phase one is a 6 months, up to 6 months, and up to £100,000. If you ever apply to us, please remember that you need to include, that does include VAT. So it's no good coming to us and saying, oh, we £100,000, but we've got to put VAT on the top, because we can't give you that. £100,000 is the maximum, and it includes your VAT. So phase one will happen, and then we'll review that phase. You can't get into phase two unless you've done phase one. So phase one is all about kind of proof of market. It's about feasibility. Have you really got a product here? Can you develop it? Will it do the kind of thing that you want it to do? What is it economically viable? We'll provide you with some health economics around the pathway that you're working with. We'll put give you, we'll send you somebody, a health economist, to come and talk to you and work through that process with you to give you some, so everybody in the who's got a project will get the same kind of review about that and identify the opportunity. At the end of phase one, there'll be a final report. Has it worked? Have you been successful? And then you apply to phase two. Phase two, again, similar sort of application. It's still quite a quick process. I'll talk about the assessment and due diligence in a moment. Phase two is up to 12 months and up to £1 million. And again, including VAT. And that's really about taking your thing that you've proved as feasible, prototype, wherever, whatever it happens to be, and taking that through to something that looks like much more like a product, and ideally doing some clinical testing along the way. And then you probably doesn't quite get you to the point where you're going to ready for adoption. It depends on what your technology is. If you're a digital technology, it's quite likely that you may be able to, within that time frame, develop something and have something ready for the market. If it's hardware, if it's device or diagnostic, there may well be some further work that needs doing, because 12 months is quite a short time to do that. We actually have a competition that's just closed a few weeks ago, and we're in the process of the review at the moment. That's being reviewed by technical reviewers. It's also being reviewed by commercial people who are their innovators in their own right, people who are investors, so working for VCs and angel investors. And in particular, obviously, we've got clinical experts who have been involved in helping us scope out that competition, so they know what it is they're looking for, and they will review those applications. We're literally about 12 days away from producing a shortlist who will be invited to come to. It's not quite Dragon's Den, but it's there's a panel. You get an interview. You get about 10 minutes to present your case, and then you'll get Q&A from all of those different people in the panel. And they will score that application and your interview based on a number of different requirements, which are all transparent. They're all very, very available. You'll know exactly what it is you're being scored on. And then we will then take those the results of the panel scoring, and then we look at our budget. We say, is this fundable? And then we go to NHS England and we say, the panel wants to fund these. This is our budget. We can afford to fund these. And are you happy with that? And they sign off on that. At least I hope they do, Richard. and then we can start funding. And relatively quick, we'll have a contract in place within about a month, and then you can get going on the technology. And we will continue to monitor that. We'll continue to help you and meet with you from time to time to help you develop that forward and introduce you and signpost you to things that need doing. So the program, has it been successful? The answer is pretty good, actually. We funded something like 187 different, so we've awarded contracts to 187 different organizations as a result of this. Something like £88 million pounds has been invested by NHS England in this program so far, and about 4.4 million patients have benefited either through the trials or subsequent use of the technologies. Over 1,200 jobs either created or safeguarded as a result of the funding, and that £88 million has also leveraged at least another £300 million, and that's probably a slight underestimate on other fund other investment that's gone into this. And about 80 products are on the market already as a result of this, and 23 of companies that we funded are already exporting to other countries. Just one or two quick examples of the sorts of things we do. So we fund devices, diagnostics, digital, and services across, and depending on what the particular challenge is. An example around the device is a company called Open Bionics, based in Bristol. This is how you make prosthetics for children particularly look cool. And they're 3D printed. You can be, your superhero. You can be Iron Man, or you can be a Star Wars fan, or you can be someone from Frozen or whatever it is. And actually, it turns out this is really, instead of being a problem for kids, it turns out to be something that actually a lot of people want to do. And it's a really cool thing. They just raised 4.6 million in January of this year, and they're already selling the product out in the UK, US, and France at the moment. In terms of diagnostics, Alstone Medical probably needs no introduction, and they've just raised about 50 million in the last year or 18 months. And this is about doing a breath biopsy. So it's early detection of cancer using chemical detection technology based around breath or organic component, volatile components in breath. Digital health, MyMHealth is probably the product there that you'll know about is MyCOPD. That's about helping people with COPD to better self-manage. And what it's done is it's significantly reduced exacerbations and therefore patients having to go to GP or accident and emergency departments for treatment, which is a major issue for people with COPD, and reducing that by a significant percentage. Services, 365 Response is kind of like the Uber for healthcare. So this enables hospitals, GPs, and ambulance trusts to better manage their resources and to find transport if their fleet is fully occupied. There's a system which will allow them to find transport more flexibly to move patients around. Couple of other ones. For those of you who were here yesterday, Elliot's sitting at the back there, so you can go and talk to him about Innovus Medical. This is a training system for, I'm going to describe it really badly, I'm sure, and he did a much better job yesterday, but it's effectively for minimally invasive surgery to enable surgeons to train, and actually literally you can pack it up in a box and take it home and work it in your kitchen, in theory, using augmented reality. Maybe not entirely. Absolutely, yeah. I'm not commissioned later. And another digital product is iPlato. So this is kind of like the product here in particular that the SBRI fund, it's kind of like a virtual waiting room. So as well as doing electronic management of your booking of your appointments with your GP and so on, it also asks you a few questions along the way. So sometimes it will advise you don't really need to see the GP. Why don't you go and talk to the pharmacist? This is what we think it's going. So it's reducing, providing better opportunities for patients, getting them quicker to services, and also saving some of the time for GPs. I probably don't need to talk much more about the AHSNs, except that we are very well connected with them. The first thing we will do when you come to us is we'll say, have you talked to your AHSN? And they'll say, well, I've talked to five of them. Actually, you only need to talk to one. Talk to your local AHSN, and then they will connect you across the network with everybody else and who would then potentially come back to you if they're interested in following that up. So I won't say any much more about that. These are the details you need to look at if you want to contact us around SBRI Healthcare, find out any more. For the rest of the day, one or two of us will be sitting over in that corner. So please come and talk to us about SBRI, about opportunities. I can't tell you what the next competition is going to be about yet because we haven't decided on the theme. But you might want to come and tell me what themes you might be interested in and that you've got some technology about. If you've got ideas and you've got things that need to be developed, come and talk to us anyway, and we can help you and point you in the right direction. So I think we've got about 7 or 8 minutes for questions if anyone's got any questions.
That's right. Thanks very much indeed, Ian. I think that deserves a round of applause.
Do we have any questions?
Thank you for your interesting presentation there. Are there any limitations on what you can spend the money on? Not holidays, obviously, but on the development of the product. Can it be used particularly for staff time?
Yeah, so what it... Basically, you need to tell us what it's going to take to get from where you're starting to where you want to get to. I mean, clearly, there's a maximum amount that we're going to give you in this case. There will be some things that may or may not be eligible. But you can include an appropriate level of overheads. So if you're using your staff, probably the panel are not going to be terribly keen if we're paying for 75% of your CEO's time. Unless there's very good reason why, because he's going to be spending 75% of his time actually on the project. But I think that would be a challenge for most CEOs because they spend at least 50% of your time looking for money, right? But in principle, there is guidance with the application. So if you have a look at the website, there'll be guidance that will explain what is eligible and what isn't eligible. But generally speaking, you're paying for staff time, any of collaborators and so on, subcontracts that you've got to do certain pieces of the work. That's all eligible as part of the costing.
When will the next call come out?
Good question. Probably in April when we know what the next budget is, actually. So, but keep an eye on the website. You can sign up on the website to find out information about when the next calls are, and we'll ping you information about when. And there'll certainly be a lot of PR about what that is.
Any more?
Yeah?
If there aren't any more questions, just please come and talk to us. We're more than happy to chat with you for the rest of the day. So we'll be here right till the end.
Great. Thanks very much indeed, Ian. That's splendid.